This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
This is a pure definition of insanity if we let this go through. We have to be insane.
I would think that we would like a locally facilitated study by an in-state organization. Regional planning commissions are connected to our communities. Indeed, they are part of our communities. And who better to review the impact of our communities than the organizations that are dealing with the communities every day?
People aren't going to come to New Hampshire to see 130-foot tall electrical towers. They can go anywhere else if they want to see that.
And those are some sounds from the State House yesterday in Representatives Hall as two public hearings were held on House Bill 648 and 649. The first one dealing with eminent domain on large-scale utility projects like the Northern Pass. And thank you to WMUR News for that audio. As they were in the State House yesterday, we couldn't make it over well because that hearing was going on during this show. So, but we're going to bring the hearing to you and some of the players that were there that day. I guess that's an appropriate term. I don't know. It's not like they were playing poker or bingo or anything like that. They were there taking care of serious business. But good morning to you. Bulldog Brian Tilton here on this, well, here we go again on a March day. Snow in some areas, rain in some others, and then it'll all turn over to rain and, well, it'll be kind of a little bit of a repeat of what we had earlier this week. At least I hope not for those in the Upper Valley and those further down on the Connecticut River towards Acworth and Charlestown who are still dealing with some power outages after being glazed over real good with some ice earlier this week. But it's my understanding that the remaining customers without power should have that restored by the end of today as New Hampshire Electric Co-op has brought in a lot of extra crews to get the job done. So hopefully all of you will have your lights on, your heat back, and everything by later this afternoon. 1-866-823-1077 is our toll-free phone number wherever you're listening to us from throughout the Pulse listening area on WTPL 1077 and 1071, WTSL 94.3 and AM 1400, and at WTPLFM.com where you can listen to us live worldwide. And who knows where we have people listening to us around the world. You never know. Once in a blue moon, you get those emails, and it's just quite interesting. Again, another great job by Peter St. James doing his broadcast from Kuwait. We are we now cover the world for you, literally, with Peter St. James having one more day with the New Hampshire National Guard. And again, thank you. Thank you very much for listening in and participating in the program and also for being a part of, you know, if you're one of our many advertisers who helped to make this possible, we do thank you very, very much. And for those who wish to give a special thanks to our advertisers, I'll be posting them on our Facebook page later today, as well as you can visit WTPLFM.com, such as Cedar Mill Group, Service Credit Union, New Hampshire Federal, Better Hearing Center, all of the propane gas dealers in New Hampshire, Central Auto Recyclers, Merrimack County Savings Bank, Fred Fuller Oil, Fox Country Smokehouse, IBEW, LaValle Middleton Building Supply, and Lincoln of Concord. All of those helping to make our coverage quite possible here on The Pulse on the New Hampshire Wake Up Show. All right, so Bulldog Live now till noon. We have all kinds of things to get to today. We'll have Mike Whithouse joining us in the second hour for our local for our music roundup from the Hippo. We'll be talking about a lot of the local music, and then we'll talk about some politics that's playing its way on a bus tour around the country, so we'll have that. But first, let's keeping it right here in New Hampshire. We have a couple of people who attended yesterday's hearing at the State House, which was quite a crowd that showed up if you were looking at the pictures online or perhaps in the newspapers. And there was quite a few that did show up, hundreds, actually, and that's why they held it in Representatives Hall, because they were expecting quite a few. As the debate about the Northern Pass project continues, there is a piece of emergency legislation, and we talked about this earlier in the week with Bob Baker, an attorney from the North Country who had a hand in crafting the legislation, and that would be to shore up our eminent domain constitutional amendment that was passed by the voters back in 2006. Well, House Bill 648, proposed by Representative Larry Rappaport, would ensure that projects like the Northern Pass, which are funded by another entity, Hydro-Québec, a subsidiary of the province of Quebec, would run power lines from Pittsburgh down to Franklin to Concord to Deerfield and plug into the grid and then feed most of that power to southern New England. So the hearing was being done to make sure that eminent domain will not be abused in New Hampshire and to tighten up any questions that may be left open from the passage of the constitutional amendment. A couple of people that were there yesterday are Russ and Kathy Johnson. They're visiting us today from Columbia, and they came down yesterday, and they stayed overnight. And good morning to you, Russ and Kathy. Good to see you.
Good morning, Brian. Thank you very much.
And we'll have you talk right into that microphone, Kathy.
Good morning, Brian. I'm really pleased to be here, and I want to thank you for all your great coverage that you've been doing on the Northern Pass.
Well, you're welcome, and it's been a lot of work. And, you know, for anybody who might recognize Kathy's voice, I did share with you some audio of testimony that she gave on House Bill 302 before the same committee, the House Science, Technology, and Energy Committee. And that was to deal with renewable energy credits. And Kathy, you were one of the people that brought up the question about the conflict of interest with Normando Associates, who were doing the environmental impact study for both Northern Pass as well as the Department of Energy. And they've pulled out of their agreement with the Northern Pass project.
Yeah, I was really pleased to hear that because back in, I think it was November when I first discovered in a conversation with Brian Mills at the DOE that Normando was in fact going to be the consulting company that was going to perform the EIS and being paid for by Northeast Utilities. So I was really disturbed with that information. So, you know, it was good to have a forum and be able to let people know what was really going on with that.
Well, I think a handful of people, you are certainly one of those to be credited with helping to bring that to the public light as well. I know Conservation Law Foundation and a number of other people up in your neck of the woods had written objections to the Department of Energy about the Normando doing, working for two entities at the same time.
Yeah, they did a great job on that. In fact, the Conservation Law Foundation that next morning had filed their motion. They went right at it. So it
good.
Was great.
Good. So both of you were at the hearing yesterday. And was I right about 200-300 people maybe that showed up?
Oh, absolutely. Including students from both Pittsburgh and Colebrook. Boy Scouts, you name it, and a number of landowners, and it was a very significant turnout from the North Country all the way down through. It wasn't just us up there in Colebrook and Pittsburgh and Clarksville. It was all landowners all the way down through the 40-mile stretch that they want to create. So it was a excellent turnout.
Well, that's why I was wondering if anybody from Concord and the Chichester area had showed up because
there were
potential for new right-of-way to go through between those towns.
Absolutely. There was a lady there from Chichester that spoke. She just learned of this very recently and found out that they were going through her property. And she pointed out, as you just mentioned, that there are other areas outside of that 40-mile new path that also have to be created, something that's been kind of kept quiet in the past.
Well, something, too, I've noticed in the terminology, and especially in newspaper reporting lately, where they talk about they, being the Northern Pass folks, talked about utilizing the existing rights-of-way. But one of the things that concluded in my mind, especially after attending the Chichester Selectmen's meeting on this issue last week, and that was, hey, wait a minute, you're going to have to expand these right-of-ways. So you may have an existing right-of-way through somebody's property, but you might have to make that one wider. And it seems to be that that's becoming, being more admitted by the Northern Pass folks, a little reluctantly, but they are starting to say it, and I'm starting to see it in newspaper reporting now, too.
I hear from people almost every day when I'm out and about, from people in the southern part of the state, or this area, Concord area and above. I hear all the time that they had no idea that where they have an existing right-of-way already on their property, they had no idea that they had a potential for 135-foot towers being put in their backyards. Mm-hmm. It's amazing the information's getting out now, but it amazes me every day the amount of people that just still don't know.
Well, they are learning, and you know, people south of Concord may not be overly interested unless they maybe have a land interest up, you know, in the North Country, because there are people who do have second homes up there or camps and the like. So they certainly understand what a lot of you are talking about, residents of the North Country, in preserving that beauty of the landscape.
Well, not only that, but as this issue keeps getting more. Information keeps coming out about this issue, people are beginning to speak up from towns that are not affected because of the eminent domain threat. When a private company for private profit can come in any place in New Hampshire and take your land, it's a signal to people to stand up for their rights. And so if you don't stand up for fighting the Northern Pass, even though it doesn't affect your town, you're opening the door for another private company to come in at another time and take your land for another purpose. And so this is what those bills have to do with, is to stop this thing in its tracks due to the eminent domain issue.
It was my understanding that a representative from Public Service New Hampshire did tell the committee yesterday that if this bill, House Bill 648, does pass, that it would stop the Northern Pass project. Did you hear that?
We heard that. I don't know if that's completely true, because I'm not sure how that all works out legally, but yes,
right.
We did hear that comment. It would be a significant roadblock for Northern Pass.
Okay, and that's kind of like what Bob Baker was saying. You know, no guarantees that this would stop that project, but yes, the roadblocks.
Yeah, in fact, Brian, yesterday at the meeting, there was a representative from PSNH who actually got into that and did say that if this did not go through at the state level, if it did go through at the state level, it could be trumped at the federal level, and that was disturbing.
What could be Trump? The state law? If this House Bill 648
domain
passes?
Yes.
That's correct.
Eminent
yeah.
domain.
But that was a,
I wonder
think that
how
was
that
a,
could happen.
I think that was a threat. And a threat based on the fact if they could prove at the federal level that a transmission line was needed for the security of the country and the continuation of reliable power throughout the country, that the government come in and say, okay, New Hampshire, we heard what you said, but we don't agree. We want this power line. I think that's a veiled threat. I think it has nothing to do with the issue whatsoever. This is a private company trying to bring power in from another country because the states that need it won't allow their own people to generate it in their own states. It's as simple as that.
Very good. 1-866-823-1077 is our toll-free phone number. Russ and Kathy Johnson from Columbia joining us here on Bulldog Live, talking about the hearings yesterday at the State House. I understand, and this is why I have you on today, because I understand some things got very interesting in the committee hearing when it came to your property and a presentation that was made, some pictures that were submitted to the committee by members, I think it was from the Northern Pass Project, and it involved some views from your land.
Yeah, just to give you a little background, Brian, Russ and I own an 83-acre historic farm in Columbia, New Hampshire, and we have views that span miles and miles of mountains and pastures and valleys. And these towers are going to span our views somewhere between 4 and 5 miles. So they're really expansive views. And so back some time ago, I think it was in November, we were at a restaurant in Colebrook, and we picked up a paper and we saw that that the Northern Pass was coming through, and we were shocked. There was a map of New Hampshire, and on that map was a very thick line of where this pass was going to go through the center of New Hampshire. So having gone home, and we have a beautiful view of the mountains from our family room, and every time I'd look out that window, I would see in my mind these towers. But I really didn't know exactly where these towers were going to be. There was also a press release that Northern Pass released, and they said, if you need any information, we'll be happy to help you and give you any information you need on this project. So the information I was looking for was, where exactly are these towers going to go?
Mm-hmm.
So I called a person who is the project director in Northeast Utilities down in Connecticut. Now, Northeast Utilities is a $5 billion company in Connecticut. the project director, as she explained to me, is the person in charge of this entire project. Gary Long, she said, reports to her. We had a long discussion about the various routes, how they came up with the routes. It was a long discussion, about an hour. But the bottom line is, I said, you know, I'm looking for some information. I went out on my own, and I took some pictures. Well, I just have a little digital camera. It's, you know, I don't have those wide view lens and, mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. But I went out and I took a couple of pictures. I put them in PowerPoint. I stuck them together. I took some clip art and I put some towers on it, and I came up with an image. But, it, you know, there was no accuracy in that image.
Sure.
So I asked if, you know, would you be willing to, if I give you these pictures, would you be willing to superimpose the towers where they really, in fact, are? And she did. She said, I'll be happy to do that. I'll have my team work on it, and we'll get back to you in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Waited, nothing back from her. Finally got an email saying that she would come up and meet with us, and she'd bring the pictures at that point. And as part of that discussion, and this is really important to this whole issue, is these pictures were being done for us, for my husband and I, so that we, when we looked at our window, we would know what we were looking at and where. It was for our purpose. She was clear on that. It wasn't to be distributed. It wasn't to be shared. It wasn't to be used as PR for Northeast Utilities. It was them helping us get information. I got a call back a few days ago from a rep who works for a consulting company that Northeast Utilities has hired out of Kansas City. Well, actually, prior to that, there was a cameraman that came up. And Russ, maybe you want to talk a little bit about what happened during that process.
Well, what they did is they finally said, well, we'd like to send a professional photographer out, and they can take the good pictures, and they can actually, based from that camera, the technology included with that camera, is they can actually place the towers exactly where they're mm-hmm. going to be. All right, that's great. So they came out, and we walked out onto a portion of the road that overlooks a vacant part of our property and looks directly north. And when you look north, you look at the south-facing side of the Mohawk Valley. If you look off to the east, you'll see the Balsams Resort. If you look to the west, you see the town of Colebrook, and you can see the mountains in Canada. You can see Monadnock Mountain in Vermont. And it's not Mount Monadnock. This is Monadnock Mountain up there just outside of Colebrook. So we have a view encompassing the west to the east and the north. So he took pictures, and I showed him exactly where the towers were going to go across the ridge up on the Clarksville side and West Stewartstown side. And they took pictures from there. Then we brought him to the deck in the back of our house, which also has the same view, but only over maybe 100 yards to the west. They took pictures from there. We took them next door over to our barn that has an apartment in it and sliding glass doors and a patio. We took them on that patio. And from that point, you can see all the way, the whole scope from the Balsams over Colebrook into Vermont, into Canada, down through the southwest through Cree Notch of where the towers are going to be. They took pictures from there. Then we went down on the ground in front of the garage and faced just west towards Monadnock Mountain, and they took pictures there. this lady that got up from public service yesterday flaunted the pictures that Kathy had taken, amateurishly taken, and tried to put together, and said, you know, she said that the pictures are worth 1,000 words, and we agree with that. And here's our pictures of those towers.
And the towers of the pictures, of course, that she was flaunting were their pictures that were not. The view was nothing to do with the pictures that I had taken. It was a totally different view facing it the other way. It mm-hmm. was at ground level facing the trees.
Mm-hmm.
But back to...
Which would diminish the impact of what the towers would look like from this one narrow view, ignoring maybe perhaps the rest of the view over the Mohawk Valley up towards the Balsams.
All the pictures taken facing north, which would be the south-facing side of the Mohawk Valley.
For anybody who doesn't know what the Mohawk Valley is, that's basically Route 26 follows along the bottom of that.
Right, that's correct. Yeah, East Colebrook is up there. There are lots of homes up through there.
To go from Colebrook to Dixville to Errol. Yeah.
Yes, that's correct. All those pictures that they took from the road and from both decks were not published. The only pictures that they show are the pictures directly to the west facing Monadnock Mountain, which is where a valley cuts through between us and that mountain. And when the towers are in that short stretch there, a good portion of the base of the towers would not be visible, only the top parts. And then during the whole process, ever since the first announcement in the newspaper, they talked from about 90 to 135-foot towers. And in the pictures that they showed in superimposed towers in that western view, they used 80 and 100-foot towers. So it was clearly obvious that these pictures were submitted in their favor and did not show any representation of the towers that would be coming down across the Mohawk Valley.
It's important to note the tower height, too, because what I noticed last week in covering the Northern Pass, I noticed that they talk about, well, the tower heights could be anywhere from 80 to 90 feet to 100 feet, maybe 135, and they start saying that not every tower is going to be 135. And that you can buy that, depending upon the terrain, I'm sure.
Sure.
But the fact, what you just said, they're all showing them, 80 feet straight across in a line. For that one photograph, not showing what it could be like through the other part of the valley.
Right. Now, when you look at when you look from our house looking north from any of those points that the pictures were taken, if you cut a 150-foot swath down through that hillside, you can see right to the ground, from our house. You're going to see the entire tower no matter what height it is.
Mm.
None of those pictures were submitted, and that, I think, is it's really a shame that they would take that type of an approach to such an important subject. And if they're doing it already at this point in the game, it's obvious that they're going to play dirty pool all the way through.
Well, with that being said, there's and I have to take a time out here in just another minute or two. But Kathy, I understand that what happened in the committee when those pictures that you had shown and what they had taken was submitted to the House Energy Science and Technology Committee, that you were upset. You had never seen their pictures before.
I had never seen these pictures before. I was shocked. It was my understanding that they were going to come out and give the pictures to me. I had received a voicemail from one of their reps only a couple of days prior to that, saying that they wanted to come out and meet with us before they before the DOE, Department of Energy, scoping meetings, because they were going to include those as part of the DOE scoping meetings. And I was appalled.
After you had said before when they were coming to take pictures that they are for private use, so you can figure out where the towers are going to be, not to be used in any other form.
Exactly.
So they came on your property, took the pictures, and used them in other ways that you had stipulated that they shouldn't be used.
Absolutely.
Now, one of the committee members got pretty upset with this.
Yes. In fact, when I got up to testify, I still hadn't seen the pictures. And after I sat down, she was Representative
Callie Pitts.
Yes.
Jacqueline Callie Pitts.
Found her way over to me and handed me the pictures, which I really appreciated her doing that. That was the first time I had seen the pictures. At break, when we had a lunch break, I was told that, worse yet, the pictures had been I think it was an interview with New Hampshire Public Television with Gary Long the night before, and Gary Long had the pictures and presented that as part of that interview. I was horrified.
Okay. Well, let's take the time out here. 1-866-823-1077. Russ and Kathy Johnson are going to stay with us for a few more moments, and we'll hear from Rick Sampson, who was also at the hearing yesterday before the House Science, Technology, and Energy Committee to ban eminent domain, and also House Bill 649 that would send this off to a study by a regional planning commission to discuss the merits or demerits of the Northern Pass project. Bulldog Live continues on The Pulse.
Bulldog Live will continue after these messages, live on The Pulse.